It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Kevin Raywinkle, The Car Doctor, normally along with Tom Claxton, but he's a little under the weather today, and I'm letting the allergies get me right now, so if I'm hacking and coughing, I do apologize for that, but obviously we haven't had any rain in the last couple of days, so allergies are kicking in, but we'll get through it. I want to ask everybody to cut me a little slack and give me a call, 343-0106, so we can hear carry the show for us today. I'm going to ask for y'all's help tonight. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed. But obviously, y'all can hear I'm not quite clear myself, but we'll get through this. But I tell you, it's been we got lucky this week. The storm went up the East Coast instead of coming here in the Gulf of Mexico. I'm always glad for that. That's for sure. But we've been really busy out at UJ, where our traffic count's been really good, been really strong. Proud of that. There's a lot of places that aren't so fortunate. We've been able to keep all our people on and going. I appreciate everybody coming in and doing business with us. We do have our inventory is starting to look really good. We've had a bunch of vehicles come in the last 2 weeks. They've been killing me trying to get them worked through the shop, get them out front. So our inventory looks really good. It's still not what it normally is this time of year, but that's okay. We're as good or better than anybody in the area for sure.
Yeah, cranking them out.
Yeah, they're cranking them out. They're definitely getting them back up on the road. They're pretty much back to 100% on the production side, which is really good news. if you want to see a 2021 Corvette, it's hiding in the back corner, but I bet you could talk one of them into letting you peek under the cover. It's there. It's already sold, so don't get your hopes up too much, but I'm sure if you really wanted to see one, they would make that happen for you.
Awesome.
But it's been a strange time for everybody. You just gotta keep pushing forward and get through. We've been very fortunate. Just take the good fortune to move forward. But we can get into, we're still in the middle of our summer season. People are still pulling their boats. They're still, traveling. They're still pulling travel trailers. The maintenance and that is just that much more critical this time of year. You've got to keep on top of getting air pressure set right in tires and making sure that the tires are inspected. You don't want to be out. Trust me, I've been out with a car and or a boat or RV trailer that blows a tire out on the interstate when you're away from home. That's no fun. Yeah. Especially when you're having to change it on the side of a road. Yeah.
Haul a boat and have that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's one of the big things is, and I know it's not the car, but, you got to do the maintenance on the trailers too. Boat trailers are the most notorious for bearing failures because people don't keep them cleaned and packed like they should. If it goes in salt water, it needs to be packed several times a year. You can't just, assume that no water ever got in there. Because I can promise you, most of them get some kind of moisture, especially salt water up in those bearings, and it doesn't take long for that stuff to put you on the side of the road. I had my brother a couple years ago, and he finally decided that he was not going to bring his boat from Texas back to Mobile anymore. He made it all the way here. Well, I take that back. He had a blowout on the way here with the trailer. Got here. Got probably I don't know, he might have made it back to the Mississippi-Alabama line going back towards Texas when a bearing failed. Got it to my house and got it that fixed while I was at work. Had I been there, I probably would have checked the other side. And I told him to, and he's going to, but he never did. And he made it somewhere around, I don't know, Baton Rouge, and the other one failed. So he spent about a day and a half trying to get home, you know, from Dolphin Island to Houston, Texas. And that convinced him that it probably wasn't a good idea.
That going to will kill you.
Yeah, yeah, it's ugly. I mean, it really is. And you know, I've sat out on excursions with our race stuff you know, with secured knowledge that I thought we had pretty good tires and stuff on our trailer, and gone to Op, Alabama, which is, you know, 2.5 hours, maybe not that terrible far. But it we made it all the way there, and we made it probably to, oh, I don't know, Atmore coming back. Blew one tire, had a spare, put it on, made it to Airport Boulevard in 65, and blew the other one on that same tight side. So we were running on a kind of a sketchy spare, overloaded anyway. And I think I took the one off, so I had one tire on that side on an overloaded anyway trailer. And luckily we were close enough to home. I could just run about 30 mile an hour up Airport and get out and leave. Yeah. But let's see, we do have a text message here. Let's see. When will cars come with onboard cameras? This would make too much sense legally, financially. Why put the money in driverless cars? You know, most of these cars have cameras on them now. The one I've got, yeah, it's probably got, I don't know, I think it's got like six cameras on it, six or seven.
Wow.
You know, they're coming. They're not really in record mode. They're there for your information as you're driving through parking lots and that. There's some for anti-collision cameras like mine. If it doesn't think I'm paying attention, then we're coming. Well, if we're coming up to a to traffic or someone with their brake lights on trying to turn and they think I'm getting too close, it'll send up a little message and then it'll start pre-charging brakes and help me stop it before I get there. So, you know, it's good technology and it's coming. I just don't know if they're going to get into the, you know, record everything that's happening around you stuff, you know, right now anyway, because there's some liabilities and that's some doors that they may or may not want to really open, you know, right now. So I'm not a big fan of the driverless car thing. You know, maybe in a little metro area where you're going a couple blocks here or there and, you know, kind of take the place of a taxi or Uber or something, maybe I can understand. But I'm not too sure. I like all that. So yeah, we're gonna have to, you know, see how that really technology really works and how secure. I don't know how
hackers.
Yeah, you know. Well, if I tell it to go somewhere and I want to park over here, and it don't want to park over there, I mean, which one of us is going to win? You know, because there ain't no way for me to control it. You know,
yeah.
This is my ride. I'm not giving up all of that.
Manual yet, drive, fail safe.
Right, right. You know, I don't know what they're gonna do there. So we'll see. Yeah, you know, it's coming. Just like all of our electric vehicles. One of my friends here sent a little message to asking about the electric vehicles. We'll get into that when we get back. But, you know, the electric stuff is all part of that that technology with the self-driving. But they, you know, it's all coming. We're going to be we'll all be in some kind of electric vehicle before it's over with, I'm sure. So, anyway, it sounds like we've come up to our first break. We're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
I remember one time Mama said Daddy sent you all of his love from Frisco, baby. I didn't understand till I was grown why my daddy didn't spend a little time at home instead of running around the country that away. Whoa, I'm looking at the world through a windshield, and I see everything in a little bit different light.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle, along with, well, normally along with Tom Claxton. I'm so used to saying that, but he's a little under the weather. So, you know, we'll get through it. Want to hear some voices of some of our listeners tonight, if you would give me a call. Or you can send me a text, 343-0106. But we teased a little bit about talking about some electric vehicles before the break there. But, you know, and his question is how fast do you think the electric vehicles will be the majority and take place of the combustion engine vehicles? You know, the technology is really there. You know, we've got Chevy Bolts that is a full electric. You know, that car is capable of, I think, 300, 400 mile range. You know, it's very, very dependable little package. You know, works well. The real limitations are, you know, how long an extension cord you got. You know, basically it's where do you get it charged, you know. The one thing I would like to see is I personally believe somebody needs to step in and make sure all of these vehicles can be charged at the same charge port. You know, Tesla's kind of playing the game a little bit. If you don't play, you know, if you don't buy your technology from us, then, you know, you're not going to get to charge your cars at our stations, you know, and I understand that from a business point, but, you know, if you really want this to take off and be what it really can be, they've all got to have the same charge points, you know. Yeah. Even though they will plug up, they won't charge. Because they've already standardized the connection. They just haven't standardized the technology on charging. So, plus thing is, even though, you know, they will plug up, but it won't hurt it because they're very smart, and if they're not talking to each other right, it won't send any voltage either direction. So, so you're not going to hurt it. But you know, they're building electric trucks, you know, big transport trucks, over the road stuff. You know, I've said for years, and anybody that's listened to the show and listened to me, I think the city buses and the mail vehicles and local UPS and FedEx type vehicles, we're talking about a big square box that has plenty of room on the roof for solar panels. There's no reason why those vehicles should not be electric. Even some of our police vehicles, you know, I really think that they should be in the metro areas where, you know, they're all running around in one little small couple block area. You know, why not? You know, and I know it's a money thing. You know, they're, it's going to cost money to change your fleet over. But I think the benefits, you know, far outweigh, you know, the downsides, because, you know, you're talking pennies on what it would normally take to put fuel in the car to recharge them.
You'll recoup the cost.
Yeah, you'll recoup the cost. And they just don't fail as much. You know, you don't have near the maintenance. There's no oil to change. There's no, there is coolant. There is hose. There are some hoses, but it's all there to cool the battery packs and that. Not something that fails, you know, often at all. But, you know, yes, it is a little more, you know, not a little, it's a lot more technical. But, you know, hey, so are the cars versus what we used to drive. Yeah, they're so much more technical now than what they were 20 years ago. You know, a 20-year-old car today is, I mean, we're light years away from that. You know, it's when we're talking about communication systems in the car, 20 years ago, you had one communication line in the car, and it basically talked to everything that was there, even if it had, you know, a high number of modules up to, and some of those cars had up to 10, 15, 20 modules, but it was all done on one wire. Now we have, you may have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 communication systems inside this one vehicle. And this little group of modules are talking together, and this little group of modules is talking together, and then they talk to each other via a different, you know, communication line. And then that little group decides they're talking about the ones over here on the other side of the car. So, you know, then they got to get word back to them that they don't like them and what they're doing. So, you know, it's a little click thing. You know, they talk about each other a lot. You know,
the car's a brain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's interesting for sure, you know, and you know, I haven't had one of the, in 2021, they have actually come out with a new communication system, the way it talks and that. And I've not had one of those that has been hit by lightning yet. I'm looking, you know, I say looking forward to, but I'm waiting for that to happen and have to go figure out how to get in it and figure out what's, you know, what's happening with these things, because it's going to be different, you know, because you've got to get you've got to make friends with what they call a gateway module first, and you got to get him to talking to you. Yeah. And then once he's talking to you, then he can kind of tell you what's happening, you know, behind the scenes, you know,
with the click.
Yeah, with the click and what the other guys are doing, you know, and, you know, he'll start telling on them what they're doing and what they're not doing and all this kind of stuff, you know. And yeah, just to, and honestly, I know that sounds like I'm making fun, but that's kind of what we're doing. You know, it's you gotta talk, get that one guy to talking to you before you can get the other ones to talk. You know, get information out of any of the other ones. You know, he's a little bit of a stool pigeon there, but he's you know, hey, what do you do? Yeah. You know, so, you know, you got to get your information where you can. You know. But these cars are getting way more technical, and you know, majority of what we do now, instead of being a mechanical failure of the car, a big portion of the time it is a software glitch, and you know, they have to reprogram, and maybe something didn't go quite right in that program. They didn't anticipate that it wasn't going to work right with this system, so then they have to go back and redo it again, you know. We fight that an awful lot, you know. It's, you know, the technology moves so fast that to try and keep up with what the market wants and needs and the federal government has mandated and the safety enhancements that they've done, you got to throw something out there sometimes that's maybe not quite tested where you want it to be. I'm not saying they're going to throw it out there knowing something's wrong with it, but, you know, and everybody's heard me say before, you know, you can have engineers and everybody that works for General Motors or whatever company you're working with go out there and do what they say is a stress test on a vehicle, and it ain't like putting it out there in the general public, you know. It really isn't.
Closed course.
Yeah, you know, it's and these guys, they'll take them home, they drive them, they put many, many millions of miles on those cars before they get released, you know. But it ain't like giving it to Billy Bob and letting him, you know, go out there and, you know, run it through the mud and, you know, see if he can't fit all 37 of his relatives in it and ride them across country, you know, and all this kind of stuff, you know. It's, and I'm not talking about people, but I mean, it's, you never know what kind of situation people are going to put the cars in real life. It happens every day, you know. So, you know, until you get it out there, that's why, you know, one of the reasons why they put the new cars in the hands of the rental companies first. You know, if you notice, if you got new cars coming out, generally the rental companies have them before the general public can get a hold of them, you know, and they know they'll get miles put on and rough miles put on them quickly. You know, they put a lot of miles on them, they rent them out, they, you know, it's all, you know, different drivers from all, you know, walks of life will be in this thing doing God only knows what with it, you know. Because if you've ever seen anybody or rented a car, you know, you can get a, you know, your little 95-year-old grandmother that won't run over 15 mile an hour to the church. You put her in a rental car and she's ramping that thing off of something, you know. So, I mean, it's they ride and run them hard, put them up wet, you know. And that's a good way to stress test them. It really is, you know. It's, you know, you'll find out where the weak points are pretty quick, yeah, without a doubt. But, you know, it's it's interesting, you know, that it keeps me, you know, on my toes because you gotta keep up with it because, trust me, the first person that they're looking at when you get something odd happened on one of the new cars is they're looking at me as like, hey, what do we do with this? It's like, I don't know. I'll have to
figure it out.
You know, give me some time. Let me make some phone calls, and that's why I have resources with General Motors and that and – you know, and try and just basically have a way to go look for what we need. You know, it's they have resources, and you know, I had one the other day that was a 2021, had a little issue, and then the engineer that I called, he was just way too excited, you know, for something to be, you know,
wrong
with it that he got to talk about, you know, with somebody. So yeah, they're looking forward to it, you know, believe me. But looks like we're coming up to our mid-break here in just a second, but I want to thank everybody for listening to The Car Doctor, and we'll be back after these messages.
The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle, normally along with Tom Claxton, who's a little under the weather tonight, but we're getting through it. We'll got it through the halfway point.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah, we hadn't stumbled over too much. I guess we'll be all right. Yeah.
No stumbling allowed.
It's always good to have Tom around because, trust me, he has no problem keeping his mouth working during the day. Yeah, so, yeah.
He's a trip.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. He's been wide open for 82 or so years so far. So, yeah,
oh, yeah.
I think he's got it down pat. But but we'll get through it. I did have someone sent me a text message here asking about how to get a owner's manual for an 05 Trailblazer. You can actually go online, and eBay is probably not a bad resource for that. People, you know, they sell owner's manuals all the time. You know, some wrecking yards, you can find them still. I don't know that you can buy one from that far back from General Motors anymore. You can get them for a few years back, you know, and I've seen them probably – maybe 10 years, 8 to 10 years back, but I don't know that you can get them much older than that through the manufacturer. But it kind of goes along with one of my pet peeves, you know. There's no reason for that owner's manual to ever leave the car. There's no reason to lose one unless one gets damaged for some reason. But, you know, if you're out in the middle of the night, you got a light that comes on your dash, that owner's manual is not going to do you any good sitting on your nightstand where you might have tried to read it and got through the first part page where it says, oh, 5 Trailblazer, and you put it off in the corner because it was getting a little too boring at that point. But, you know, it's boring until you need the information that's in there.
That's right.
You know, I'm guilty because I've never read an owner's manual for anything I've ever owned. You know, from cover to cover, I might go pick out the points I got to have, and the rest of it, you know, I'll figure it out from here. You know,
oh, yeah.
I'm a guy. You know, it just kind of happens that way.
Yeah.
But you know, they're you know, some of these things you won't even be able to find the spare tire or the jack if you don't have the owner's manual to help you find it. Yeah. I work on these things all the time, and I'll go digging, looking for you know, a jack is like, okay, Tahoe, where would they hide the jack in this thing? You know, and it may be a side panel you got to pop a cover off of to get down in a hole somewhere to find the jack, you know. And if you don't know where it's at, you know, you probably won't find it, you know. there's just so many things like that you know, you may have, you know, most of our cars now have a capless gas tank, you know, filler where you don't have to take a cap off, so you don't leave it dangling on the side of the car or sitting on the gas pump when you leave. Now all you do, you just drive around with the door open all the time, but it's still sealed up, so you're good. But, you know, you may pull up to a gas pump that nozzle won't go in the fill port. Well, in your glove box or in the trunk somewhere, there's going to be a little plastic nozzle piece that will go on the end of pretty much any gas pump and fit down in that fill port properly.
Kind of
like a small funnel, but it's made for that. And if you get to one and you can't put gas in it because you can't make it push those little doors open in there properly, you're going to want to know where that is. You know, so not something you run across very often, but I have seen it happen. A couple years ago, my brother had a BMW diesel X5. Loved it, still does. But he was running around. He was calling me kind of in a panic. And, like, I'm over here in Pensacola, and I can't put diesel in this thing. I pulled up to 3 different stations, and I'm about to run out of fuel. And none of the nozzles will go into the end of the filler. It's like, okay, open the rear hatch, get the little nozzle adapter out, and use that. And he did, and he was fine. But yeah, I guess I'm his owner's manual on most of this stuff. Yeah, it happens. I'm used to it, and so that's okay. But you know, keep them around. You know, they're handy little pieces to have in the car. You'd be amazed how often I grab one out of a customer's car. They may come in saying, I don't know, my Bluetooth won't do this, or my radio won't do that, or whatever. It's like, okay, well, I'll go in there, I'll grab their owner's manual for that car, start flumming through, find that section, and it'll tell me whether that car has that option or not, or whether it is an option to have that or not, and how it works and what you got to do. Because, you know, we're trained on how to make the mechanical part or the electrical part of these cars function the way they were designed. You know, that doesn't mean that we're 100% versed in how every button and every function of every button can do. You know, that's really not what we do every day. You know, it's great knowledge to have. But there's too many different, and if I try and remember how every vehicle operates on every level and function, I'll forget my way home because it's pushed that part out somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
There's only so much space up there, you know. Yeah, and there's no upgrade in the storage unit up here. So it's I got what I got, so I just have to live to work with it, you know. But, you know, it's they're getting more and more technical. Keep your owner's manual around, I guess, is what we're getting with that. I'm glad to see them out every once in a while. People have actually read read their owner's manual, and they can answer a lot of their own questions sometimes at that point, you know. So, you know, definitely a good thing to have. But
you
know,
we're,
yeah, and for me, and for me, saves me a whole lot of headache at times for sure. But you know, I don't mind explaining, you know, something I don't like. I don't like being called out and asked to show a customer something that I don't really understand either.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't, you know, I don't like to look any dumber than I am already. You know, so it's, yeah, I like to try and stay versed on most of that stuff. But there's just so much of it out there. And it's so different on every vehicle. You know, I was, one of our newer vehicles out is the 2021 Tahoe. And, had a customer that was talking about it wouldn't back up. Well, so I'm doing a little research. Said, well, you know, after a minute or so, it was able to back up and go and do everything it was supposed to. It didn't really do anything. Just tried it again and it went. You know, well, I'm you know, looking for through our database and the research that General Motors puts out there for us, and I just typed in, you know, no reverse. Well, the first thing that pops up is it's bringing up a part of the owner's manual. It's like, what? I mean, I know that's not what I punched in, you know? So I get to looking at it and reading down, and these cars, part of its collision avoidance system is if it senses something behind you, it will not let you back into it. So it would not let it go in reverse because it saw something back there, whether it was cross traffic or, you know, another vehicle too close or whatever it may be. It saw something it didn't like and it wouldn't let go to reverse.
It was jumping the gun, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's all good information to have, you know.
Yeah.
Especially when they start putting new toys on these things, you know, you got to understand how they work, you know. So, yeah, but there's a lot of new technology on these vehicles that's going to keep me jumping for years to come, for sure. But, you know, we're I was just reading the other day about we were talking about electric vehicles a little while ago, about how General Motors is putting out there and putting a lot of effort onto the charging stations for their electric vehicles, teaming up with other companies and putting charge points, you know, throughout the country to make it to where you can't force a full charge into one in a short period of time because of the heat that it generates in the battery. But in about 30 minutes, you can put an 80% charge on a battery, which is good to get you down the road, 200, 300 miles down the road. And, yeah, that's enough for you to, you know, be ready to get out and take a break and, you know, get you a soft drink or whatever. Walk around the parking lot and let it charge again, and then you can get back in and go again, you know. So, but the one neat thing that General Motors is doing is even though, like, Tesla's not letting the GM products and other vehicles charge on their systems, the Teslas will be able to charge on ours. So, you know, it'll be
– some compromise.
It'll be a little bit of a compromise. Everything – they'll work better. You know, I think General Motors, being a larger company, been around a lot longer, they understand that they need to support everybody in this endeavor to make it viable for everybody. Yeah. You can't hoard your little technology over here and you be the only one. Well, the problem is sure, that's great, but the infrastructure is not going to be out there to make it viable to actually own one.
That's so, like when you see five or six different studios behind one movie.
Right, right. Yeah, it just doesn't work. Yeah, so, but, yeah, that's kind of what's happened to the hydrogen vehicles that was really the hot ticket here, 10 years ago. You know, it was going to be the next best thing. You know, then they got down to the point to where the vehicles were viable, everything was going to work great, but the fuel stations were like, No, we're not putting that in there because we can't sell gas if we're selling that. If we're doing that, if you're going to put that in here, then no, we're not going to do it. What's in it for us, you know?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't see that through far enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's kind of painted them into a corner to where they really didn't have anybody that would refuel their cars for them. Yeah.
Yep.
If you couldn't do it at home, yeah, you were pretty much stuck. Yeah. Yeah, excuse me. They turned out to be a fairly decent fleet technology, and you could do it, you know, when you're, you know, had them back at your fleet base or whatever. But fueling them on the road was a problem. Yeah. But we're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And the Car Doctor is back in the house. This is Kevin Raywinkle, normally along with Tom Claxton. But just Philip tonight. So it's me and Philip tonight. And Tom's on his own. He's at home. Hopefully he's getting feeling a little better. But anyway, it's I want to apologize ahead of time if I get into a coughing fit. I've been sitting here talking for about 45 minutes, and it's starting to take a toll. But, you know, hey, you know, it is what it is. I'm trying to get through. But, yeah, we at UJ Chevrolet, I'm very proud of where I work and the people I work with. You know, I feel like we do a really good job at what we do. The numbers pretty much show that. We're the highest volume Chevrolet dealer in this area. You know, we do a better, larger service business, and we have more repeat customers. So that says something. And have been around for, since 1940-ish. So, 39, 40. So that, what is that, we're 70 years or so. So
yeah.
That's you know, it's been around a while. Yeah, so it's you know, great place, closer to 80 years. But anyway,
yeah.
We're you know, we've got a good inventory of cars again. Some great looking trucks. We've got some of the new Tahoes there. Very neat, very nice vehicle. Had the pleasure of driving one for a few days, and it's been a really nice ride. Runs and drives and rides well. new technology's got independent rear suspension. Several different motor options. The inline six diesel's one of them. Was talking to one of our customers today, and you know, he's got probably a 6-7 year old truck, and he's wanting to, you know, possibly get a newer one and or new truck. And he was talking about getting one with a 6.2, and because he's going to be towing a little car trailer with a, you know, his classic car on it. And it's like, what you probably want is the new half ton truck with the inline six diesel. And he said, well, I didn't, you know, I heard it didn't have quite the horsepower that the 6.2 does. And I was like, well, it doesn't have the horsepower, but it has the exact same torque, and the torque is what moves things. Yeah, it runs at a lower RPM, better fuel economy, and actually, the people that I've talked to that have driven both, they love their diesel. Yeah, they love that little six-cylinder diesel. It does a great job. A couple of the guys around the shop have them. They're very impressed with them so far. They've been out for about a year, yeah. At this point, they're been trouble free so far. Can't say anything bad about them. You know, time will tell on any of that. But You know, the technology has been around long enough now. They understand what it takes to build that little motor, you know, the little inline six. It keeps the vibration down. You know, they know how strong they've got to build these components to make them live. They know what the weak points are by now. You know, we're we're not experimenting, you right. know, much anymore. You know, they're it's kind of like our 6.2s and 6.0s, 5.3s in the trucks and the Camaros and the Corvettes. Yeah, that motor's been around long enough now that it's I'm not going to say bulletproof, but it's because you can break anything. I've proved that over the years. Yeah. But it's yeah, that technology's been around long enough that it is really efficient. It lives long. It's not unusual to see 200,000 miles on one that runs and drives like a brand new vehicle. Whereas if you had one 25 or 30 years ago with 200,000 miles on it, you were lucky if you ever got there, and you probably already had a new motor, new transmission, new rear end, and all put under it, you know. And I've seen them go 200,000 miles and still have the original belts and hoses, you know, motor never been into, transmission never been into, rear end never, of course, never been touched, you know. Our brake systems last so much longer. I've got a brother with a 3/4 ton, and his is 07, so this thing's coming on 13 years old. Got about 85 or 90,000 miles on it now. Pulls a large travel trailer with it. Still running the original brakes front and back. Yeah. And he asked me every time we change oil, please inspect the brakes. They got to be wore out by now. It's like, yeah. It doesn't need them. I'm sorry. So,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, if it'll make you feel better, we'll put them on there. But I don't think you need to spend the money yet. You know, it's you know, just one of those things. You know, that the systems work so much better now than what they used to be. I've had trucks even from, you know, in the mid to early 90s that you were going to put front brakes on that thing every 25,000 miles. You know, it was just kind of a rule of thumb. Yeah, that may have just been the way I was driving it, but you were gonna put brakes on it on a regular basis, you know. But the rears were gonna last 200,000 miles, but the front, you're gonna put them on there pretty regular. Yeah, but we haven't had that that problem really. You know, let's see, we do have a if I can get it to pull up, we have a message from Rapid Ray, but. What is the symptom of a blown head gasket? Well, one of the key things is is that you're going to be having to add coolant on a regular basis. You're going to have overheat problems, and you're going to have more. The more you push it, the harder, the quicker it's going to overheat. It's going to start bubbling back through the radiator, through the reservoir, and blowing out. You may see a milky substance in the oil. You know, you'll get moisture build up in underneath the oil cap or on the dipstick. You know, it may not be mixed with the oil yet, but on the upper surfaces where condensation will go, it's going to look milky looking, which you can get some of that anyway just from if you don't drive it every day. Yeah, don't run it long enough to burn everything off. You'll get that down here where the humidity is at 20 or 30 or 50% most of the time, you know. That's part of living in the South, but one of the key things, and what we see more so with our little, you know, we build a lot of cars with little motors with turbos on them, you know, to make power. You can run that car in the shop; it'll run perfect. You can just kind of put it around, run perfect, no overheat. Get out there and boost it up just a little bit, getting the throttle enough to where it starts making turbo boost. And it'll start running hot almost immediately. I mean, you can see the temp gauge start to climb. It'll start blowing water out of it. So, you know, it's just, you got to, there's a lot of different, you know, things you got to look for. But key thing is you're going to be adding water to it on a pretty regular basis, and it's going to run hot. So, you know, it's just kind of been the same thing all along, but, you know, now with the advent of all the turbochargers that we do, it's harder to keep head gasket under one. Yeah, they've improved the head gasket technology and the clamping force technology by a long ways, because, you know, by changing the material of the gaskets. Now, instead of having just like a composite gasket with maybe a fire ring built into it, now we have multi-layer steel shim type gaskets. And, you know, some of our old timers say, oh, we've had steel shim gaskets around forever. Well, this is not one layer. This is multi-layer head gaskets that it may have four layers of head gaskets stacked together to create that seal. And they do a very good job of containing, you know, the combustion and the water and everything from the motors. You know, much better technology. they've learned that you have to have an adequate amount of head bolts around the cylinder to keep it all clamped down. But and the bolts themselves are different. But sounds like we've run to the end of our show. I want to definitely thank everybody for listening to the Car Doc Show and help me get through a night here without Tom, and hope Tom gets better.
Yes.
I want to thank all of our first responders for what y'all do for us, and I will be here next week.
Awesome.
Monday morning, he's kissing mama goodbye.